Well, it is good to be back with you today. Vacation Bible School is always a highlight of the summer. And I'm thankful for a church that will come together and volunteer to lead these kids towards Jesus. We had a great family vacation, and it's good to be back with you. It's always nice to be able to leave it in the hands of Kevin and not have to worry about it. But we actually raised funds this week for Just the Crumbs Ministry, and maybe by now you're kind of familiar with that. It's a disaster relief ministry, and I understand since we raised over $500 that Miss Brenna is going to get a pie in the face after the second service. So if you want to come back for that, always a good time. Also, if you would like to give more towards Just the Crumbs, they go into the heart of disaster, and man, they minister the gospel. But you know, we believe that it is worth going all out and decorating this place like a mountain campsite and playing games and raising the decibel level. Man, the decibel level was high this week, but we doing crafts and singing fun songs so that our kids will hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus. That he did for us what we could not do for ourselves. That he came to die on the cross to save us from our sins and from eternity separated from God in a very real place called hell. But these truths are not just for kids. And I believe that the Lord wants to talk to each one of our hearts through his word. The God who created everything we see and even the things that we do not. He wants to speak to our hearts through his word. And maybe it's possible that you just come with all sorts of burdens and heavy weight on your heart. Well, you're in the right place because God wants to speak to you. He may not take that burden away immediately, but he will help you walk through it. And so today, we are focusing on a couple different areas that we can trust God. Sometimes that trust comes easy, but sometimes it does not. But number one on your outline on the back of your bulletin, when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. This was day one's theme this week. And as adults, we understand that word wonder, but if you think about it, it can have a pretty broad definition. Think about this. Wonder can imply doubt, as in, I wonder about that guy. So you kind of have doubts about somebody. But it can also imply a desire to know something more about someone. I wonder about that guy. So it can have two different meanings. Wonder can also define a feeling of admiration caused by something beautiful, unexpected, unexplainable. Like the wonder that you have when you set up camp at the bottom of a 9,000-foot-tall mountain. Maybe for you, when you hear that word wonder, you just think of a decent loaf of bread. I don't know what you think of when you think of wonder, but it has deep meaning, and we all, at some point in our lives, have wondered about Jesus. We have all wondered about spiritual things. Now, for some, that wonder is in the form of doubt. You wonder about Jesus, and you have doubts that he is who he says he is. There are so many questions that you don't have answers for. Even though everything else in this life has left you wanting, you still haven't come to terms with the one true Jesus. And listen, I understand. The Bible doesn't give us all the answers that we want. But it does give us all the answers we need. And there are just some things that we have to take by faith. And if this describes your type of wonder today, I'm glad you're here. For others, you wonder about Jesus. You actually desire to know more about him and search him out. And sure, you still have questions, but something deep within you is drawing you to his word and to his people. And I'm glad you're here this morning as well. One of the stories that we looked at with our kids this week started in with a crowd, and they were at all different levels of wonder about Jesus, or more specifically, about the Messiah. Now, Most of us know the Messiah is a term used of the promised Savior. God said he would send his people. This promise first appears very early in the Old Testament, Genesis 3, right after sin entered the world through Adam and Eve's choice. God promised the seed of woman would crush the head of the snake. The seed is the Messiah, the snake is Satan. So that seed was referring to this Messiah, and throughout the Old Testament, the promise was reaffirmed to different people in different ways. God promised the Messiah to Abraham and Moses and to David. And even through his people's rebellion and exile, the promise still remained of this Messiah as a glimmer of hope. God will send this Savior to his people to redeem them from their sins. By the time we turn the page to the book of Matthew, this first book in the New Testament, over 400 years has passed since the last words of the Old Testament. And people wondered if the promise of God would ever come true. Or maybe they misunderstood it. Or maybe God wasn't going to keep his word after all. And so we pick it up in Matthew chapter 3. If you're able to stand out of respect for the word of God, please do so as we read a couple of different passages here. In Matthew 3. Hear the word of the Lord. In those days, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he who was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah when he said, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Now, John wore a garment of camel's hair and a leather belt around his waist, and his food was locust and wild honey. And then Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region about the Jordan were going out to him, and they were baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. If you continue to read in verses 7 through 12, the Pharisees, the religious leaders, they didn't like John's message, so they opposed it, and he pushes right back. Pick it up again in verse 13. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? But Jesus answered him and said, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. And then he, John, consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened up to him. And John saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on Jesus. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Lord, we trust that you will bless the reading of your word. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Thank you. You can have a seat. So, consider this scene for just a moment. If you were John and you wondered about Jesus, several things happened here that would give you confidence this is the Messiah. In the disciple John's gospel account, when John the Baptist first saw Jesus, he said, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. And so here we have the heavens opening up. I imagine that the clouds opened up and the sun shined down. The Spirit of God descended upon Jesus like a dove. A voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And if you or I, if we experienced just one of these things and we had any wonder in the form of doubt, it would be turned to awe and admiration probably pretty quickly. This man, Jesus Christ, he is no ordinary man. He is sent and anointed by God with an incredible mission, and it is the mission of the Messiah to save God's people from our sins. Now, there are many of us in this room here. I mean, this is the early service, right? I mean, this describes our wonder of Jesus because we know him on a deep and personal level. And when we consider who he is and what he's done, we stand in awe and wonder of our matchless and incredible Savior. And we agree with the Word of God, Philippians 2:9, God has highly exalted him, Jesus, and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Many of us have been in a place where this describes our wonder of Jesus. But if we are honest for just a moment, and we answer this next question honestly, was there ever a time that you would have said, yes, that type of wonder, it described me? But recently, maybe you have wandered from this type of wonder. Friends, when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. This same John the Baptist that testified Jesus is the Lamb of God, this same John the Baptist that saw heaven opened up and God and the Spirit of God descending like a dove, the same John who heard God say from heaven, "This is my beloved Son," his awe and wonder turned to doubt and wonder just a few chapters later. Matthew 11:2 says this, "Now when John the Baptist heard in prison about the deeds of Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to Jesus, 'Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?'" So in other words, John is saying, you know, "I once stood in awe and wonder of Jesus, but now I just wonder about him." It's important to know John was in prison here because he stood upon the truth. He stood up for what was right. Some people didn't like him because of his message, a message based on his faith in God and Jesus. The man who once boldly proclaimed salvation through Jesus now questioned every bit of it. And many of us have been in a similar place. When the hard times come, maybe it's actual prison, maybe it's figurative, whatever it is, the rug got pulled out from under us. We took a hard blow, and we suffered great loss. When we found ourselves in the valley, and perhaps just as we were coming out of that valley, we came to a mountain that we thought was much too tall, and through it all, we took our eyes off Jesus, and Satan began to sow seeds of doubt. That's what he does. He sows seeds of doubt, especially when we're not prepared for them. And in our self-inflicted isolation from God, we gladly water those seeds and nurture them so that what was once awe and wonder has turned into wonder and doubts. This life can be a cycle of wonder. But when we wonder, we can trust Jesus. His answer to John's question, "Are you really the Messiah?" He said this in verse 4. Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." In other words, the next blank on your outline, he told them to look at the evidence. When we doubt, when we wonder in the form of doubt, look at the evidence. First of all, who Jesus is. Now, we could spend an entire series, an entire year of series about this, who Jesus is, as claimed in the Word, but then backed by his actions and affirmed by countless others. There are hundreds of prophecies fulfilled in him. He existed before time began. The Son of God, born of a virgin. God in the flesh. The Word of God that became flesh and dwelt among us. He is the Alpha and Omega, the first and last letters of the Greek alphabet. And it means that he is the beginning and the end. And just like we don't need more than 26 letters in our alphabet to make every word in English, in the English language, because it is complete with 26 letters, so is Jesus complete. He needs nothing, and we need nothing else for salvation. Consider who he is, the Prince of Heaven, the only Savior, the Lion of Judah, the Lamb of God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the wonderful counselor, the Prince of Peace, the giver of life, the divine deliverer, and so much more. And there is evidence for each one of these. If you have ever wondered about Jesus, check the evidence of who he is. And then check the evidence of what he's done. The next blanks on your outline. He willingly went to the cross when he could have called an army of angels to rescue him. He endured the beating and the flogging and the humiliation and the nails through his wrists and feet and the thorns in his skull. He endured death. He willingly took the punishment that I deserved for my sins upon himself so that I could have eternal life. Consider what he's done in your own life. I was dead. I was lost. I was blind. I was a deserving recipient of God's wrath, and I didn't even care. I was his enemy. The world offered my me monster what it wanted. I had no morals, no purity in and of myself, no righteousness. I was completely broken and completely hopeless. I was headed down a path of destruction and death. And that's when the love of God met me where I was and picked me up and offered me the same thing that he offers each one of us, complete forgiveness of sin through the blood and sacrifice of his son, Jesus Christ. Not earned and not deserved, but attained by grace through faith. And friends, it's past time for some of us to remember who Jesus is, remember what he's done, return to our first love, and return to a place of wonder and awe of this gospel story. And if that word wonder brought to your mind a loaf of bread, John 6:35, I am, Jesus said, the bread of life. When we wonder, we can trust Jesus. Matthew 12:21, the New Living Translation says this, his name will be the hope of all the world. And that's the message that we were able to tell over 100 kids this week. It's an exciting, exciting message. Thursday's lesson moved beyond Jesus' sacrifice to his resurrection and the events that transpired after that. Now, some of us may be able to imagine the complete despair Jesus' followers experienced the night of his arrest and trial. I mean, they had been in hot water with Jesus before, but this was so much more. In the garden, hundreds of soldiers came to arrest Jesus. And the story tells us that the disciples, they scattered. Some of them watched from a distance as Jesus was unjustly tried and beaten beyond recognition and sentenced to death. They watched as he was nailed to the cross. They saw him breathe his last breath, and some of them even helped bury him. Scripture tells us after this that they locked themselves in a room for fear of the possibility that they might be next. And I don't think we can quite fathom the questions that would have been swirling in their minds. Because they had come to a point where they started to believe what he said. They were starting to think it might actually be true. Maybe this guy is actually the Son of God, but now he was dead. He was gone, and they were scared. But then they saw him alive. And I guess there's nothing like watching someone die and then seeing them alive that will light a fire in your heart to proclaim the message they preached. It's the same message and mission that you and I are called to today. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had appointed for them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. There's that cycle of wonder again. Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. So there's the mission. Go, make disciples, baptize, and teach. And the tense of these of this verb actually means as you are going, make disciples, baptize, and teach. That's the mission that we are called to. And it's not just for me, but for all of us. Who do you know that needs to hear the good news of Jesus? It can become a difficult task, but if you think it's difficult now, imagine being the first to take the good news of Jesus to a lost and dying world. And while it was and still is good news, it was completely against the then current religious system. People were used to religion, not a relationship. People were used to God being distant, and now he's approachable. Their church leaders were well set in their ways of rituals and laws, and even though they couldn't keep them, they loved to try to force others to keep them. This gospel of grace through faith was in stark contrast to tradition, and we know tradition is very hard to overcome. How in the world would they ever move forward and be remotely successful? See, the disciples needed help to complete the mission just like you and I do. And so number two on your outline, when we need help, we can trust Jesus. When we need help, we can trust Jesus. So he gave this mission, as you were going, make disciples, baptize, and teach. But he also gave a promise. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. It's the same promise that we see throughout Scripture. Psalm 145, 18. The Lord is near to all who call upon him. To all who call upon him in truth. Hebrews 13:5, I will never leave you or forsake you. My favorite verse, Isaiah 41:10, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Joshua 1:9, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And right here in Matthew 28:20, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Friends, what we find is this. Not if, but when we need help for the most important mission of going, making disciples, baptizing, and teaching, Jesus is the source of that help. We can trust him because he gives it. Through his Holy Spirit, it came on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. But his help isn't just for the mission. It's for each and every day of our lives. When we need help to make it just one more day, Jesus is the source of that help. When we need help to control our thoughts, Jesus is the source. When we need help to make life-affecting decisions, Jesus is the source. When we need help to love the unlovable, Jesus is the source. When we need help to get through the treatments, when we need help to find joy, when we need help to find peace, when we need help relocating the wonder of our faith, no matter what the situation is, no matter where you are, when we need help, we can trust Jesus. The last blank's on your outline. He is the source of the help we need. We can trust him. Psalm 121, 1 and 2. I lift my eyes up to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. Every time I see Psalm 121, I think of Brother James Simpson. Some of you knew him. This was his favorite verse. These were his favorite verses. We've had great examples of those who have gone ahead of us, who trusted in God, even when it didn't make sense, through every step of the way, through the hardships, through the ups and downs, through the treatments, through the struggles. Friends, we can still trust him today. As we go into a time of reflection, an invitation, would you just bow your head and close your eyes? And allow God to work in your heart. What has he said to you through his word? And what's he calling you to do about it? Have you lost the sense of wonder for the gospel? Do you need to pray that you would renew your first love? And that the gospel would never become stale, that we would never get used to hearing the truth of the gospel. And never get tired of living for it. What stage of this cycle of wonder do you find yourself in today? Do you have doubts? Are you curious? Do you stand in awe of who he is? What's it going to take for you to go to the next step? What situation do you currently find yourself in? You just need help. So thankful that we serve a trustworthy God. Trustworthy Jesus. And it is sweet. And I sought the Lord, and he heard. And that's why I trust him. What's God saying to your heart today? What's he calling you to do about it? Lord, we invite you to come. Lord, so thankful that we do serve the trustworthy, the only trustworthy one true God. Lord, we acknowledge the struggles of this life. It's nothing new. Lord, we acknowledge the cycle of wonder that we can find ourselves in. Lord, if there are any here who have doubts about you, Lord, I pray that you would just speak to their hearts and affirm the truth. That you would block Satan from our minds and our hearts, Lord. That you would help us to take the things out of our lives that are pulling us away from you. So that we might serve you and trust you even when it's not easy. Lord, we thank you that we can come to you for help. Lord, that you are that source. Our help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Lord, we worship you because of what you are, who you are, and what you've done, Lord. You spoke this world into existence from nothing. Lord, you have proven over and over how sweet it is to trust in you. Give us the strength to continue to do so. Lord, thank you for this church. Thank you for this week. We continue to lift up the events of this summer. We pray that some more would come to know you and that all would grow in their faith. In the worthy name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, thanks for coming out this morning. I hope that you have a wonderful rest of the week, and you are dismissed.